Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce, joined as always by Rob and Chris. We are about 6 weeks away, six or seven weeks away from WrestleMania in Las Vegas again. We've had some things happen. We've had some things shake. We know our two main events. Actually, we know our four main events, our four main, you know, title matches. What do you guys think about this current road? Because, I mean, differing opinions from a lot of different people, you know, I hear a lot about this little stretch has not been the best, opinion-wise, for a lot of fans. What say y'all?
I think it's been all right. I know SmackDown's gotten to be a much better show over the past couple of months. I thought it was a dud for the most part in 2025 for really a number of reasons. But it's definitely improved. I think the fact that they've had now two world title changes on that show in the last 2 months, I think that's an improvement just in terms of making the show feel unpredictable and exciting and enticing to watch. Raw, you know, I think it's the show is what it is. You know what you're going to get out of it. You know who you're going to see. I think the fact that Seth hasn't been around, then Braun wasn't around, I think that took a hit from the major angle of the show. And when the major angle of the show suffers, everything else around it is going to feel like it suffers also, which, depending on how you thought about Cena's retirement tour, that's probably why 2025 felt so dry to some. But I think they're doing a strong job so far. And again, I actually do like the fact that the title has changed hands a couple times this year alone. And really, I mean, it's not happening when, you know, some people thought it was going to happen, but Cody Randy is still, in my opinion, a very intriguing title match.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just to talk about Cody and Randy real quick, my one issue with them, we're going to have to see how they do this, is I don't know what you do for a finish, because I think if Cody just wins, people are going to be upset because people like Randy. But if Randy wins, you almost have to turn him unless they stick it with babyface.
Well, sure. I guess I can see that happening along the way. There's still 6 weeks, but
yeah, I'm excited for it though. I mean, you're right on the money about the title changes and like just kind of because, you know, they used to occasionally do title changes on the road to WrestleMania. You know, 1997, they were kind of forced into it, but they did a handful of them. Mm-hmm. 2004, obviously, to set up,
99.
Yeah.
So 99, I mean, a couple times between.
They've not really done it lately. I'm sure there's an example more recent than this, but like Goldberg and The Fiend or Goldberg and Owens. But like that wasn't even like the same thing. That was just to, you know, put it on Goldberg, and to put it on Cody's obviously different. So to do it in this fashion, yeah, this is more like, you know, 2004, you know.
Yeah, and it's not quite 2001, because 2001, the champion in the match wasn't even the champion at the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the title match at the Royal Rumble either. He was actually in the Rumble match himself.
Right.
I believe.
I don't have an issue with how they got to Cody and Randy. And I've seen a lot of that, you know, online in the last like 18 hours. Oh, well, you know, you could have did this all along. They could have, but I think they fleshed out multiple stories in the process of it. You know, Drew finally getting a true championship reign, I feel this was important. It was important to the company to get that in, get that win in Scotland was important. You know, I've seen like, oh, it was a dud. I mean, like he had one championship match, really. The one with Sammy.
Yeah, the Sammy match, which was kind of just whatever.
Right. And like, I'm not here to, you know, judge the reign, because like that's not what we're here for. It was just really just to get the belt on him, and then also to kind of like get the story in with Jacob, because now you're probably leaning either Drew Jacob or Drew and Nick Aldis for WrestleMania. But then you also gave weight to, you know, Randy finding his way and winning the chamber in the way that he did. And, you know, I think the only one that kind of looks like a loser in this, even though he's not the loser, is Cody.
Yeah.
you know, and I guess it's a shame, but this is kind of what was always going to happen with Cody. He was going to have the couple years where everyone was excited about his return and him being back. He was a lightning rod and everyone wanted to see him finish the story. Well, now we're 2 years removed from finishing the story, and it's pretty much what the reactions he was getting in AEW towards the end. You know,
yeah. And I mean, when you have a big time baby face like that, you're going to go back to him, you know, right. Whenever yeah, you need to.
Exactly. That's,
I haven't had one of them since, you know, Cena. So
yeah. I'm not even shocked by that.
Yeah. He hasn't even held the big gold belt yet. And he's going to be clear. He's definitely going to at least two times. I feel like by the time he's done, he'll probably be a 10-time champion. I don't think that that's by any stretch an exaggeration, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
And it's funny. It is funny to me, Pierce, that you bring up the fact that people were like, oh, well, they could have done this all along. I guess I feel like I'm going insane, but weren't people complaining that like all the title runs were going too long anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective, I don't mind that because Cody doesn't need to have a continuous title run. He already did.
Right.
And yeah, it's not something that I'm miffed about because again, I'd seen people be like, you know, because they were busy rewriting their own record books for so long. And it felt like people had, you know, an expectation now that every championship reign is going to go on forever. But that doesn't necessarily have to happen for these reigns to be successful. And also, not every title reign deserves to be treated on equal playing field either. So calling his reign a dud,
it did make any sense.
It's just part of the process, in my opinion.
Right. It's kind of just reducing. I don't know, it's reducing the wrestler, I feel like, to me. But, like, you know, besides the fact
we're
here now, we're going to get Cody and Randy. And honestly, like, I think they may be setting up for that turn. You know, the weaving Sammy into it yesterday in the way that they did, you know, you heard the boos. And I'm like, for a second, I'm like, Portland, what y'all doing? Like, that's Sambo. Y'all can't be blowing my guy. Y'all tripping. But then I'm like, he's also on screen with Cody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the boos for Cody have been getting louder and louder and louder. And yeah, he's Cena, but he also isn't. Like, I think there is that propensity for him to turn. Where Cena just, it never would have made sense. By the way, you mentioned the video game, 2K26. We talked about it briefly before we started recording this podcast. You know, in my rise, they got the little text message thing that they be sending y'all. And they were clearly making this when Cena was a heel.
Yeah.
Because Cena trashed the universe in it. So it's funny.
Nice.
And then on the other side, we're getting Punk and Roman. We've known that. It's official now, and they're going that way. You know, I was really hoping that we would get some heat bigger than I hate you. Bring up that man's father, because guess what Roman is going to do on Monday? He's going to go to the pet cemetery. Bring back, you know, real hate in professional wrestling. This is going to be fun.
So, the funny thing, actually, Roman's not booked for this show. He's not going to Seattle. But he's booked for, I'm pretty sure, the rest of March, right?
Yeah, because I know next week it's 316. I think it's
him. Yeah, next week's 316 day.
And it's in San Antonio, so
might be there. Watch
well.
Out. And then it's Boston and then the Garden. So, he'll be there. I mean, I had joked, but I have rarely gasped at my TV watching wrestling, but I definitely did on Monday when Punk said what he did. And then this is what you come to the dance for when you get these guys, and when Punk is trying to get all that hate out of him and bring that out of Roman, because really he kept pointing out the thing that it's Roman's weakness is that he's different when he's alone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been the one thing that people were kind of wondering what was going to happen, you know, when he eventually did go alone. So I'm really intrigued to see just what the next steps are going to be. And, you know, how does Punk approach this week where Roman's not there? What are they going to do? Is he going to go further in on this? I almost expect him to.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's going to be great. And interesting point about Randy Orton, if I may rewind just a few seconds here. I think motivation is there for a turn. And I say that because Cena got his retirement tour and he did what he did. Styles just got a big send off or whatever. Orton may feel he is entitled to a piece of the pie as well. And so he might do whatever he wants to do to get to number 15 for himself. And that may include betraying Cody.
Yeah.
So I can see that. I can see that working, to be honest, if that's the angle they take.
Yeah. And I mean, they need to start racking up some championship wins for Randy, because Randy is that last tether to the, mm-hmm. the previous generation. And he's so close. You will likely never get another wrestler to get that close to 17 mm-hmm. than where Randy is right now. So you might as well like play with it. Like that's your story for the rest of Randy Orton's careers. Can I match my mentor in Ric Flair at 16? Can I match or surpass my greatest foe in Cena at 17? So, you know, if they can, you know, find and it's not out of nowhere, because Randy is still so mega popular. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's why like him being in the main event, like just it doesn't feel weird to me. Like, you know, you might look at it on the surface and be like, well, shit, when's the last time Randy Orton was in a championship match at WrestleMania? Answer, 2017. That was a really long fucking time ago.
Yeah.
But it's not out of place, because anywhere that they go on the calendar, they're singing this fucking song the whole way through. And granted, I'm annoyed by that. I hate when they do that shit. But like, yeah, Randy is still that guy to a lot of people. And honestly, to a lot of non-wrestling fans, you say the name Randy Orton, he's probably one of the few names that, oh, yeah, I know Randy Orton.
Yeah, because the RKO thing has gotten, you know, everywhere at this point. And, yeah.
I really wish Migos would, man. Fuck. It kills me. I'm so glad they got to do that before Takeoff passed.
Yeah.
Let's break away from the other two title matches for a half second, because you mentioned our good friend AJ Styles. And I was genuinely shocked, because I did not think that they were going to reveal that night that AJ was getting a first ballot Hall of Fame induction. But it was a very sweet capper to what was a really good send-off. And I think we needed that closure to know for sure. Even though he was telling us all up and down, like, yeah, I'm ready to be a family man. I think that closure was very much needed, because his last match was over in fucking Saudi Arabia. You know,
like, yeah.
That's so anticlimactic. So for him to come back to Atlanta and have that moment was very special. And I'm glad he's getting that first ballot Hall of Fame induction, mainly because, you know, someone's going to have to be first. when this shit starts at midnight Eastern, someone's got to be first.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, you know, Stephanie McMahon's fine. She can't be your headliner.
No.
For a million different reasons. So, you know, you have AJ. I think maybe they would have considered Cena, but that, you know, can be down the line.
Yeah, he's got some movies to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I'm glad AJ got that moment as well in Atlanta, because, you know, the way he retired, we talked about it, you know, when we previewed the Rumble, but it was like, it's not that it was weird that, you know, he retired. It was weird that, you know, they did the whole thing for Cena and then AJ's just like, I was done and that's that. And it turns out he was done. He was ready to be done a long time ago, but he, you know, got injured and stuff. And so, yeah, I'm glad he got to come back and do the thing in Atlanta. I'm glad they had, you know, Abyss there in full Abyss gear.
It was really good to see all the OG TNA guys.
The Good Brothers.
The Good Brothers came back. Obviously, Xavier Woods, his consequences, Creed and TNA. He took, you know, the big pitches with everybody. Borash works for TNA now. Air Raid was there, which I thought was really cool, man. Like, fucking Air Raid, Air Styles. That was really fucking cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
Air Paris. Paris, Air Styles, Air Raid was their tag team. So I thought that was really cool, you know? It shows the love and respect that people have for AJ. You know, seeing all of the New Japan links, too. Most of them are there in WWE now, but it was a really good send-off, real quality send-off. Good to see him get that first ballot nod. Do I think he's like fully retired? We'll see. Because you can never say never.
No, the door is always, you know, open. I think in he's WWE, not going he's to AEW, closed. Obviously, but yeah. He might go to, well, I don't know, like, because he signed the new contract. He's going to do NXT stuff, I think, or coaching stuff or whatever, which he lives in Georgia, so it's easy to commute for him. I guess
WWE proper, I think.
Yeah.
It would really be cheap to bring him back if WWE proper. Let him do TNA. Let him do NXT. You know, a little shit here and there.
But, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also, it's also really funny that they've made Undertaker the Hall of Fame guy now.
Yeah, like he's the he's the guy with the gold jacket that pulls up and is like, hey man, you know why I'm here? Like, why you? Like, Sean can't do it?
Well, they clearly realized that Undertaker signed like a 20-year contract or whatever right before the pandemic, and they're like, hey man, you need to start doing some actual work around here. So now he has a podcast and he's a Hall of Fame guy in AAA, and you know. Stays busy.
Say, just send his ass to AAA and let him stay there, because you know he'll.
They love him. The fans love him down there.
Naturally, he's bigger than any fucking wrestler they got.
Yeah, well, he's the booker.
He is.
Yeah, so
they were chanting booking.
Yeah, he books that show.
Wow,
which is interesting as well for other reasons that he's getting booking experience. But we'll see how that goes.
Maybe it's a little bit problematic, you know.
Well, yeah.
How do you feel about ice, Mr. Taker? back to WrestleMania. Our women's matches are solidified. On Raw, we got Liv, the Royal Rumble winner, challenging Stephanie Vaquer for the Women's World title. On SmackDown, Jade Cargill is going to defend her WWE Women's Championship against Elimination Chamber winner Rhea Ripley. Now, I want to table that part of it for a second, because we can talk about that. Which match would you say you are more excited for? Because I don't really have. It's hard for me to really get up about Stephanie and Liv, because, like, truth be told, like, they're both tiny.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think just from like a marquee standpoint, just from like a what's it going to look like on the WrestleMania stage, obviously Rhea and Jade, but like I think Liv and Stephanie has a chance of being a better match.
Yes, because and that's the thing. It's like, yeah, you look on the Raw side, like they're two shorter girls. I think maybe Stephanie tops out at 5'3", 5'4". So like, you know, there's that. But then also on the SmackDown side, you have to believe that Rhea is going to carry Jade in this match. And as great as Rhea Ripley is, and I'm not saying she's a bad wrestler, look at the WrestleMania matches that she has had. Charlotte, Asuka, she did the tag match. Charlotte,
Becky,
what was it last year?
The Bianca and Io last year.
She has faced, or her opponents have all been class. And then, you know, Jade is great on paper. She's still got a lot of ways to go in the ring. So Rhea's gonna have to carry that fucking match, and you have to believe that she has that potential. But you know that it could be a clear dud. Whereas over on the Raw side, I know those two women are gonna work.
Yeah, yeah, they're Yeah, Liv and Stephanie are definitely going to work hard to make that match work. I think just from the perspective of, you know, them, I'm not going to call them, you know, unusual wrestlers in this spot, but they're not horsewomen. Liv wasn't part of Black and Gold. She was a background figure in NXT in 2016. Took a different path to get here, and you know she's establishing herself. So this one is, I think, a good launching pad for her to get to the next level. Meanwhile, Stephanie is the, you know, their new kid on the block, who's, you know, who they're putting up in marquee spots or whatever. So I'm intrigued to see what that looks like, just because they're two people who are just different from what we've been used to. And that's another thing, by the way. This is the first time since 2016, since they all debuted, there's no horsewoman in any title matches.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So that I had said, I think I had said here or somewhere else that after the Rumble, that era was over. They keep telling you that era is coming to an end.
Yeah, and I mean, it's interesting because, you know, Bayley and Charlotte getting involved in the tag title stuff. Tag title stuff's been really important for, maybe not important, but like good and compelling for the most consistent amount of time since the belts have existed. So, yes. Like, you know, obviously when you put stars in there, that'll happen. And that's a good thing for both of them to be doing. I mean, obviously Alexa's not getting a rub from Charlotte, but she's another one where that's probably the best use for her right now. So, mm-hmm.
It really is. It really is. They can get away with the tag team turmoil match for WrestleMania because they have so many and their quality, and they, you know, they need to figure out a way to get them on the card somehow. So let's bring it around. So Irresistible Forces are your champions. Shout out to Lash for getting a title too, by the way.
Yes. Yes. She's tremendous. I have a question for you both, if you don't mind me switching here. So we just went over how, you know, maybe there's, you know, some different vibes with Liv and Stephanie. Do you think that Io gets a singles match at Mania?
That's where I was going, because I was trying to name all the tag teams that will be a part of this match. And clearly the one tag team that won't be a part of the match is Rio. And I was anticipating that Rhea would kind of step back a little bit and maybe be in that match, because, like, truth be told, she doesn't have to be in the main title match. They're going to use her in the main title match because of who she is. But it is interesting that, like, she's been your women's MVP probably the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And she's not, like, her prospects for WrestleMania aren't clear. So it is interesting. Go ahead.
So, okay. This is a thought that kind of combines two things going on right now. And it goes back to something that I said before. I'm still unsure if Becky AJ is going to be for the title at WrestleMania. And now I say that even more after AJ won the championship at Elimination Chamber.
Why?
Just because, like, okay. If they do that, then Becky either becomes a 3-time champion. I don't know what that does for, like, anything really, except just status quo, where AJ retains somebody who might not be around all the time holding that title. So what if Asuka wins that gauntlet on Monday and there's still heat between her and Io, and you do Asuka-Io at Mania for that IC belt, and you do a non-title with Becky and AJ, which becomes probably the biggest non-title women's match in Mania history, and you get about 5 women's matches out of that.
So forgive me, I'm opening up the WWE app now to kind of figure out, like, what's going on.
Yeah, so there's a gauntlet to determine the next opponent for AJ and that title on Monday. It's Asuka, Bayley, Ivy, Lyra, Io, and Raquel.
Okay.
So I was thinking maybe that they would just have Becky interfere in the title match later. And I mean, she could, to cost AJ the title, to just, you know, get revenge for what happened at the Garden in November. And yeah, I mean, it's not Asuka AJ is kind of a weird fit, but again, if you're just trying Mania, then it makes sense and she'll play her role like the professional that she is.
Yeah, I would be with it. Because that didn't really sit well with me, AJ winning the strap. I thought they, well, honestly, like, I didn't like that they did that match at Elimination Chamber.
It was laid out weird.
It was laid out weird. I don't think that AJ is, like, it's been a minute, but I don't think the two of them are great together in the ring working with each other.
Yeah, it was better worked than I thought. Like, I didn't know AJ would look in a singles match like that. I figured she wouldn't go out there and, you know, look terrible, obviously. But she was never, you know, the best wrestler, which right. is...
No, so, but she...
Yeah, she's a terrible job.
Yeah, she looked better than she did at Survivor Series and better than she did in September at WrestleMania. So it's been a steady work of improvement. She was working Lyra, Bailey, and Vert Vixen the other day in Orlando, mm-hmm. I believe. They took a picture together. So they're getting her up to speed.
That's good. But, like, yeah, I don't think that doesn't need a strap. It absolutely does not.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, especially since they're making it so personal to begin with.
Yes. It just feels
and like you like can a prop. Yeah, you can just do like a... You can make it a gimmick match if you really want to. I mean, raise the stakes. Why not?
Yeah. And, yeah. So the fact that...
Yeah, like, so then you would at, have... What?
I was going to say the fact Liv that you're Stephanie. Looking at... I was going to say the fact that you're looking at Asuka and Io and yeah. to a lesser extent Kairi, because I've enjoyed the cold Kabuki Warrior mm-hmm. stuff over the last year.
Yeah.
The fact that they currently aren't on the card, I think they need to figure it out. But yeah, back to the tag team part, like, you know, you have
yeah,
like,
so you would have Warriors,
you have Irresistible Forces, which, like, yeah, shout out to Lash, mm-hmm. shout out to Nia for possibly finally getting on a fucking WrestleMania card. Holy shit. You got Charlotte and you got Alexa. You have Bailey and Lyra.
Kiana and Julia were involved in the segment last night. Roxanne and Raquel, once Roxanne gets back, yes. might be another team in there, the Bellas.
Mm-hmm. So I think you can afford to do like a tag team turmoil style, you know, yeah. WrestleMania. If the goal is to get six fucking women's matches, yes, holy seriously. Fuck. So like yeah. we named three, that would be four. What are the other two?
So you would have Becky, AJ... Io and Asuka.
The two women's title matches. I guess that would be four.
Yeah. And then the two world title matches, an intercontinental title match, Becky AJ. And then if you wanted to, like, I know that it wasn't received well the first time, but that was because there was bad workers. Do a contenders match one night for the women, all the tag teams. Have them wrestle on night two for the belts. There you go.
Well, it should be good because it's not involving Ronda Rousey.
It was also the match where Dana Brooke slipped on the stage.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. Yeah. Wait, was that Dana Brooke or was that Mandy Rose?
Or was it? It was.
I'm talking about 37. You're thinking 39, Pierce.
Yeah. Oh, which, yeah.
Either way, you're correct. But yeah, they did a thing at 37 where they had like six teams competing on night one for a title shot on night two.
Oh God,
I wouldn't mind them doing that.
In hell.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they definitely have the teams now for that, obviously. So like, that's the move there. And then the only woman who like is a big name that I think might not have a spot is Tiffany, which it is what it is. That happens sometimes.
She's 25 or whatever. I was going to say, okay. You know, if they wanted to, I guess they could do a U.S. title match. I don't know how you get there, but nope. You know, maybe you do that. But also, again, some people miss Mania. It kind of is what it is. She also got hurt and then, you know, lost some momentum too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that creeped up into my head is, you know, they're not doing Stand and Deliver this year, which makes all the sense in the world. If they do a West Coast WrestleMania, there's no way in fucking hell. Honestly, I don't like that they do them, period. The morning of or the day, the Saturday WrestleMania show, but 10 a.m., 9:30 or whatever, that's fucking ridiculous. That's a ridiculous ask of fans to wake up so early to go watch developmental talent.
Yeah, and then the talent were able to get they had, like 6 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah, they said it was 5 a.m. They said it was a 5 a.m. wake-up call for the wrestlers, and none of them liked that, so they just moved it to St. Louis. It's going to be in a month on the first week of April. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was wondering, is there a chance that – I don't think the women's title would make it on because, you know, no respect to JC Jane, but I don't think a JC Jane versus Pick a Poison match on the WrestleMania card makes sense. But is there a possibility that you could get Joe Hendry and Ricky Saints on a WrestleMania card? Or maybe even like Raw after?
Raw after is not a bad idea. They did that with Braun and Dolph in 2022.
Yeah, and that's when they did the fucking the title switch. Not at Stand and Deliver at fucking Raw. Not
at Stand and Deliver, no. At Raw, where funnily enough, nobody knew who Braun was. Mm-hmm. If there was anything that tells you that the crowds were different then, that was exactly it.
Yeah, I mean, that is good for the Raw after WrestleMania, though, probably. Yeah, I think, especially if you're going to call them up or whatever, too. Like,
agreed.
Yeah. Fuck, where are we at with... we got to get back to the women's title because the women are womening. Listen, like, I understand that Jade may not be, like, here for the locker room. She might not be the best friend of a lot of other women in that locker room. But I find it very interesting. I find it very interesting that the only time that people or women in that locker room felt the urge to say something about Jade is if they got fired or if someone of Rhea Ripley's stature started beefing with Jade first.
Yeah.
Like,
or
go ahead.
Or option C, if Chelsea Green feels compelled to say something.
But I'm also talking about Chelsea because Chelsea didn't say shit until, you know, beef with Rhea popped off. Chelsea's not, you know, blameless in this shit either. Although, her friends wanted to speak up and whatever. But, like, why the fuck didn't y'all say, why didn't y'all confront her already if y'all had, you know, an issue with how she carried herself in the locker room? You know, to me, it feels like, yo, here comes a black woman into the company. She's got the stature that she does. She comes off as a bit standoffish and folks don't like that. To me, that's the way it seems. And I think that Chelsea, Piper, whoever the fuck else spoke up, kind of needs to do some introspection in that regard. And like, yo, you might not like her for that reason. But that don't fucking make, you know, if you had an issue, say something. Speak up. Say something. Fucking Shayna didn't want to say shit until she got on a podcast and was free to say something.
Yeah, because, and that's why Chelsea, I think after all that came out with her and Shayna, Chelsea had mentioned that she felt that when Jade posted that video where she depicted the women as wolves, Chelsea said that she felt betrayed by that because she had said that they had done a lot to protect her from Dave and Mike Johnson and Sean Ross Sapp for all those reports when they were trying to keep that under wraps. But at the same time, if you know, let's say all that's true or whatever, but like, all right, it's like almost 2 years ago now, though. Like, if you haven't moved on, I don't know what you do, but I would ease up on the public spectacle of it all.
Yeah,
because I don't think that Chelsea didn't know what she was doing. She just randomly decided to big up Jade big up Rhea by referring to her, you know, in certain ways, and Jade responded because Chelsea's talked about her in the past online. Yeah, like, it was obvious to me what was going on there. Chelsea escalated, and she also ended by calling Jade a bitch.
Yeah. I mean, she shouldn't have done that. I think it's possible that maybe Jade, who has been, you know, kind of pushed as a big star since the first day she went into AEW and WWE, could have an ego and might be a little bit unpleasant to be around. But she's not the only person in the locker room that is. I can guarantee you that. Yeah.
I mean, shit. You fucking, you're in the same locker room every fucking day as Charlotte Flair. Like, you sit here and complain to me about the ego of Jade Cargill.
Everyone seems to be friends with Charlotte now, and that's good. But like,
even Natty has an ego.
Yeah. Oh, Natty's got a big ass ego.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, Becky, you know, they all do.
I was like, Rhea's got one too.
Yeah, like, she should.
Yes. Like, let's not sit here and act like this is a singular fucking problem. The most of the men have fucking, this is professional wrestling. Since the dawn of time in professional wrestling, wrestlers have had fucking egos. So like, let's get over the bullshit of feeling like, oh man, we gotta be all buddy hunky dory in the fucking locker room. Would you like to be friends with people? Yes, you absolutely was, but it's a business, it's a job. Folks are trying to get ahead. And so, like, yeah, Jade probably is thinking about her singularly and her friends. I can tell you who I have not seen a lick of a problem with that Jade has with other women in the locker room. I don't see her having an issue with Naomi. I don't see her having an issue with Bianca. I don't see her having an issue with Meechin. I don't see her having an issue with B-Fab. Tiffany.
Yeah.
Like, what was the shit when her and Tiffany were going at it? But yeah. but come on, man. And I love Chelsea. I think Chelsea is one of the most underrated wrestlers in that company. She's got a fucking ego too. That's why she ran and went to the fucking podcast or Chris Van Bleet or whoever the fuck and started complaining about Doc Hendricks. And like, let's be clear. Was Doc disrespectful? Yes, he was. Was he wrong?
No, not really.
And it wasn't really a knock on Chelsea. It wasn't. Because Chelsea's not the person who needs that title. She gets over on her own. She's great. She's fucking brilliant. Would you like to see her as a champion? Yes. But I look at Chelsea and I see Miz. I see someone that's able to just fucking make lemonade out of dog shit. She does that every single day. So I don't feel the need for her to now sneak this, because now someone of Rhea's stature and Rhea's abilities now has the opportunity to say, hey, yo, Jade, fuck you. So that's how I felt about that. Hey, hopefully it leads to a match between the two of them. It will absolutely be a squash, or maybe they hurricane her. And maybe she gets like a little, roll up victory thanks to Rhea. But let's not sit here and act like fucking Jade is the problem here.
Yeah.
Anything else within professional wrestling? I know we have a NXT Vengeance Day show tonight. I feel like AEW probably has a pay-per-view coming up soon.
They have one next weekend, Revolution. Doing with it, MJF and Adam Page. Adam Page is doing the Cody thing where if he loses, he can't challenge for the title again. They're doing FTR and the Young Bucks because tag team wrestling is dead again.
Man, I am so sorry for Brody King, because you had that nice little moment in the sun and that shit's about to be over with, dog.
Yeah.
Soon as Big Nose Barry gets her hands on AEW, that shit's over with.
Danhausen's in WWE now.
Ah, Danhausen. Yeah, let's talk about that. So
it was a really bad way to debut him.
It was
but
a shitty way to introduce him, but that's what was always going to happen. I never felt that when Danhausen is backstage doing vignettes or on TV that it was going to be bad or fall flat. It was the introduction, because they relied on the Chicago crowd knowing who Danhausen was. And yes, they knew. I've been to indie shows long before Danhausen was on TV where Danhausen was a part, and like, you know, he's known in the independent scene in Chicago. That wasn't a shock to me. But it was just the fact that you did the crate stuff and then that was your reveal. And it was nice to see Danhausen and the Ghoulhausens, his girl was watching him. Maybe it was like 2018, I want to say. Maybe his girl and her mom were in the crowd watching Danhausen. I always thought that was really sweet. Their connection, how she supports him. I always thought that was very sweet, and I love that she was probably the lead Ghoulhausen. I thought that was pretty neat. Then the fucking One Bull Pyro is also hilarious. But then the lights go off and he leaves. And I understand that's his thing now, is they're making him like the Batman ghost character. But I was really hoping that led to a squash. Because I think that is also going to be what Danhausen is. He's going to be the funny guy who ends up getting squashed out of nowhere. Like, yeah. I think that segment would not be talked about the way that it is, gobbledygooker, if Obafemi came out and just beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
But on TV, it's getting over very well, because all he has to do is, you are cursed. And he's very charismatic. He's very funny. My girl was like, I didn't expect him to have that voice. You know, like, he's going to get over. But it wasn't a great debut.
No, I mean, listen, those are the kind of guys that are the big deal now. Him and Mr. Iguana and Joe Hendry and Jey Uso. And, you know, the meme wrestlers are big. And
truth.
It's just, you know, it is what it is. They're not going to be for everyone, but whatever. I mean, again, I did something with The Miz last night, so whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's a good use of both of them, honestly.
Gives Miz something to do. But, like, yeah, I think Monday was perfect, because you really showed off the potential of Danhausen working backstage, though he's funny as hell with Judgment Day, cursing Dom, and then the very next thing, Dom loses his title. So, you know, I thought Monday was if he went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts on Saturday, he had a nice little double on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Sorry, World Baseball Classic is back, so I'm trying to get into the swing of things. You understand me? Yeah. Is that all? Is that all the wrestling?
CM Punk had a really cool entrance.
Yeah, that was dope. I was very happy that it was Ray Clay.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it at first. And then it's like, oh, yeah, that's him. Because that's really one of the only times he's been back, because they wouldn't let him back after Mike came back with the Wizards. And he did the whole thing and they fired him, which...
just, you know, Jerry Reinsdorf. Peak fucking Jerry Reinsdorf. For a second, I was like, is that an AI imitating Ray Clay?
Yep.
But I'm very glad that it was actual, factual fucking Ray Clay. I would be happy if they did more shows at the United Center. They really, like, pomp and circumstance the fuck out of that show. They really did.
Yeah, they did. They took advantage of being in Chicago instead of being near Chicago. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool. I mean, the show was what it was, but I think the women's chamber match was pretty good, and the men's one wasn't, but, I mean... they probably should have not just given Logan Paul all of Bronson Reed's spots. They probably could have rewrote some of the match in the 5 days between, you know, the injury and the match. But
that's another thing that we can do. That's another that we could probably end with the Vision.
If
I close this out with the Vision here, it needs to be over. I don't even like. I'm glad that you are cursed. I'm glad that we did the whole stuff with Seth. I don't even know if we need to do anything at WrestleMania, because why? The two dudes that are left, like, yeah, one guy's really talented, but he's a piece of shit and no one likes him. And also, like, you know, all the atrocities. Like
every time, Logan's there now, he feels less and less like, you know, like a novelty or whatever. So right.
He feels like a regular wrestler now, and that's fine. It's just, you know, people don't like him. And then the other guy, it's not special. No matter how many times they try to make him special, he's not special. It sucks. I don't know how much longer it's going to be for Braun, but if Braun's not back by WrestleMania, I think you just fucking scrap the whole thing. Because honestly, the only two guys Paul needs is the Bronze.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Logan Paul doesn't need Paul. Austin Theory absolutely needs Paul, but Paul does not need Austin Theory.
No.
So we could scrap that. It's honestly, is the Vision better or worse than Retribution?
Ooh.
Given what the Vision was supposed to be.
I don't know, man. Like, they're probably worse. I mean, it's not their fault, but, like, the injuries to all three of their top guys didn't help. And then they were in the War Games match, and that was kind of... not great. So that's kind of held against them too. And like Retribution, we all knew that they didn't have a chance. I think the Vision, especially when they turned on Seth, or when they formed in the first place, like we all had high hopes for them. And then when they turned on Seth, we had high hopes for them and they got derailed. But yeah, I mean, I think in terms of expectations, they fell a lot harder.
Rob, if you had the opportunity to, would you rather drive to the United Center for a WWE show or drive to Hammond, Indiana for a Bears game?
Ooh. Probably
just, United. Just for context, both of these drives are a little inconvenient for Rob.
Yeah, probably the United Center, because I guess it's technically a little bit closer, even though I think Hammond would be a little bit quicker.
Would it?
No, probably not, because you're still going basically past where I had to get off for the United Center in the first place.
Because you would, take 90-94, get on 290, take 290 to United Center versus...
Yeah, I don't remember what exit, but yeah, the one of them. When I went to Collision a couple years ago... Yeah, it only took, I mean, getting home from the United Center, because it was like a Saturday night with no one on the road. It was only like 25 minutes to get back out here. So that's probably a lot quicker than
going to Hammond. The thing about Hammond, and like, I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't live on the South Side anymore. But if I did, it'd be a lot more feasible than Arlington Heights. Yeah. Not to make this Bears Hour. You already have a Bears show. It's called 79th and Hollis. Those boys will be back when they're not watching Arsenal. But I, whatever, dude, just go fucking get an edge rusher. That's where I'm at. Get a fucking edge rusher. Cause this fan base is losing its shit for no fucking reason. I hate one winning season. And you forgot that this fan base is fucking stupid.
That'll be fine. They're gonna have a good free agency. They have a lot of cap space.
They have money. They have a lot of money. Chris, how you feel about Dante Moore coming back? You ready for? Do you think it might be the year?
Yeah, I'm glad he did, because down the stretch, I was kind of noticing. I was kind of watching him. He was looking a little slow in terms of processing. He's definitely not all the way there yet. So he definitely needs that extra year. That's always what I heard. Also, because he's been patient through this whole process. He obviously had no problem sitting behind Gabriel in 24. So it didn't really shock me that he came back. I think it's what shocked me was basically the entire defense coming back. That's probably going to help us put us over the top if we do get there.
Yeah, it's time. Or it's time that Oregon wins a fucking championship.
I hope so.
I'm tired of fucking. They're the only like big team in college football that has no chip. It's like they're like Tottenham. Sorry to, footy this up now. I'm watching a lot of footy lately. They're like Tottenham. It's like you got zero fucking trophies in the trophy case. Only problem is you're probably not getting relegated to Conference USA. But still, like, just fucking win already. God, just do it for Joey Harrington.
It's funny, though, because technically gotten further every single year that he's been there. So now it's like, well, you got to the first round – or we got to the quarterfinals 2 years ago.
I was going
to
say they lost on New Year's Day both last 2 years,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Well, they lost on the 9th this year for the semis. Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. We played two playoff games this year because we were the 5. So we got through all the way to the semifinals this year and lost. So technically next year we're on track to make the finals.
Wait, was that the Indiana? Oh, that was Oregon, Indiana.
Yeah, that was the Indiana game.
I don't know why I thought y'all lost in the second round. Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking
Ohio State, actually. That fucking egg that they. Anyway, we could talk all day about this shit, but it's time to wrap this up. Thank you guys for joining us on another edition of Ruthless Aggression. We'll be back pretty soon talking more wrestling as we really barge into WrestleMania. More matches get fleshed out, more shenanigans happen, because this is always the time of year for shenanigans in professional wrestling. Side note before we leave, I'm so happy that like my algorithm is just reminding me that Jim Ross is a racist piece of shit. It was like the interview with Kay Quick, R-Truth, from like the mid-2000s, and he starts talking about, this is a white man's sport. How about that? How about it? Yeah, we need to put a microphone up to Swerve's mouth and get his thoughts on that. Because Swerve feels, it seems like Swerve has a lot of thoughts on professional wrestling and black culture. So what do you think about Jim Ross, sir? just curious. Pay attention to Late Night Grin. You guys are doing something interesting. Talk about it.
Yeah, there was just a video put out that Joe and some of the other people did featuring the Good Brothers, kind of talking about 10 years of AJ Styles and a little discussion about his evening at Raw the other night. It's pretty cool. Nice little video they put on YouTube, so you go check that out. And it's also a all-time WCW draft coming up later this month.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm part of that.
Starting when Jim Crockett becomes WCW?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, it's like from any time Turner bought it, and then through the end of Nitro, obviously. So yeah, it's
I'm curious. Like, can you only pick a wrestler once, or if that wrestler had multiple gimmicks, are the gimmicks split up? Like, let's say I took Kevin Nash in the third round. Can I come back later and get Vinny Vegas?
No, I think you'd have to just specify which version of Kevin Nash you would want, and then that kind of takes it all out. Okay. So
no one's choosing the diamond stud, I'm guessing.
No.
Okay. Well, that sounds really fun, man. Pay attention to Late Night Grin, what they're doing. Pay attention to everything we're doing here, because, you know, it's Saturday Night the Howlers, draft's coming up, baseball's coming back, you know. Ain't nobody paying attention to the fucking Bulls, so. Yeah, you know, everything's going good. Follow us on X, follow us on Blue Sky, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, whatever the fuck else, your mama. And keep your sanity as the world blows. For Rob and for Chris, I am Pierce. We'll see you guys later. Talk more wrestling. Peace.